by June and July, people are reaching out to me like they've known me, and they go, Jason, I am just wanted to reach out. We have a home to sell in Minnesota. I don't know if you can help with that, but we're really looking for something in Wisconsin. I'm looking at the history, and I never sent them a message. They are starting these messages like we've had this relationship, and I know it's because that they were looking at my videos.
This is the Platform Marketing Show, where we interview the most creative and ambitious real estate agents in the country, dissect their local marketing strategy, and get the behind-the-scenes scoop on how they're generating listing leads and warm referrals. We'll dive into the specifics of what marketing campaigns are working for them, how much they're spending on those campaigns, and figure out how they have perfected what we call the Platform Marketing Strategy. This is your host, Tim Shermack. I'm the founder and CEO of Platform. I love marketing and I talk too much. So let's dive in. All right. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Platform Marketing Show. I'm here today with Jason Newhouse. Jason, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, good. So Jason has a cool story. He was already selling more than 40 homes a year before he ever stumbled across the Platform Strategy. So he was already at the point in his business, frankly, that most agents are like praying that they someday get to. You know, there's tons of agents out there who sell, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 or 11 homes a year, and they think it would just be incredible if they could ever even get to 30 transactions a year. But Jason was already at 40 transactions a year plus before he ever discovered Platform. But since joining the Platform family and starting this Platform Marketing Strategy, he's grown from 40 transactions a year to actually over 60 transactions a year just in the last couple of years since he joined the Platform. So, Jason, I'm excited to dive into your story, learn more about how you got to, frankly, 40, because 40 is already super impressive. And then we'll dive into, you know, what are the marketing tweaks you made in your business that took you from 40 to from 40 to 60. So, Jason, how long have you been in real estate and what market do you serve?
Sure. Yeah. Started real estate in 2015 after about 19 years in higher education. So I wasn't a teacher, but I worked in residence life, student life, all the student development activities. And 2015, the president eliminated my position. And so I said, well, real estate sounded fun. Well, let's give it a shot. So started in 2015, got my Wisconsin license in August, and by January I had my first closings. So I realized a commission check in real estate is a lot larger than a monthly or even every 2 month paycheck in higher education. So hit the ground running, had 26 closings that first full year in 2016.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yes, I've continued to grow since then.
And you're in the Hudson.
Oh,
Hudson,
yeah.
Market,
I'm in
right?
the
Wisconsin?
Western Wisconsin. Yep. Hudson River Falls is where I live. The area that I was given is Pierce and St. Croix counties. River Falls happens to be split right down the middle. Half is in St. Croix County, half is in Pierce County. So it kind of made sense just to take both counties.
Yeah. So basically that area, for those who have no idea what he's talking about, it's that area like east of the Twin Cities, like right across the Twin Cities, but technically in the Wisconsin side, not the Minnesota side.
Correct. Yeah. So about 35-40% of my business is Minnesota. A lot of the places I worked were in Minnesota, University of St. Thomas, Inver Hills Community College. So it made sense to get my Minnesota license right away as well. And probably 7 of my first 10 transactions were Minnesota clients, actually.
Wow. Okay. So You definitely, it sounds like you leveraged your sphere of influence and your network to build your business right away. Because the first couple of years, correct me if I'm wrong, you really weren't doing any like paid marketing as much as you just had a big sphere of people who knew you from that past career and they thought to reach out to you when they needed help with real estate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did add realtor.com leads on to my second year. That was about 10 transactions a year. Still is about 10 transactions a year. But as far as marketing goes, I just try to do what I could to keep up with stuff on Facebook, very little on Instagram or Twitter. And so I knew that was something that was lagging when I came across Platform in 2020.
Yeah. So how did you first like stumble across Platform? Because as you were telling me before, it was like you kind of had a speaker come in, speak to your brokerage, and they just kind of inspired you to, hey, set a big goal and then pursue it, you know, and then you just happen to see a platform ad or something and it just hits you at the right time and you're like, I'm going to sign up.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So 17 and 18, I continued to grow the business. I was up to about 40 transactions, 250,000. But after this next year, I hit about the same 40 transactions, 250,000. I go, I need to do something to push it into gear. And then Travis Robertson happened to come to one of our Coldwell Banker presentations and said, if your goals are here, you need to shoot your goals so they're almost unattainable, something to strive for, something to reach for. So it's like, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to find something to help me propel myself to that. And I just happened to be scrolling through Facebook and it was either like the high hanging fruit. I asked for a copy of that. And within a matter of hours, I think I called Mitch and I go, Mitch, this is going to be the easiest sell you've ever had. I would like to sign up for platform. And the rest is history.
So it was really that simple. It just happened to hit you at the right time where you were kind of inspired of, I need to grow my business. And you're like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The testimonials were outstanding. I kind of peeked in on a couple of the realtors that had been using it at that point. I knew that Facebook was a good way to go. I bleed a lot with the philosophy of doing those videos in the community, reaching out. I'm one that believes to be true to yourself, and I'm not going to sign up for a marketing company that makes you do things that aren't part of my core values. And what am I doing? I'm reaching out to local businesses. Two of them are now clients from the last year or so because they see me and they respect me. People come up to me at the cafe and say, Jason, I really like those videos that you shoot. Those are inspiring. They're awesome. So I know that it's definitely making an impact and people are noticing.
That's cool. So I actually can't even remember what podcast I was listening to recently. Like, I actually can't remember. But the idea that stuck with me was there was some guest on some podcast I was listening to, and they were just talking about this concept of, does your budget match your goals? Because a lot of people like to talk about the goals that they're setting, like whether it's in their personal life or maybe it's you're trying to, you know, build muscle or lose weight, or you're trying to grow your business, add more profit, like whatever it is, right? And then they say, does your budget match your goal? Because a lot of people like kind of they like to brag about setting a big goal, or they like the emotional high that they get by talking about the goals that they've set. And it almost feels like setting a goal and just getting to tell people, oh, I have a goal, that feels good. But then you look at how they're spending their money or their budget, and it's like, well, you didn't really change your budget at all. And so basically the point he was making was, if your budget didn't change, your goals didn't really change either, because your budget should align with what you say your goals are. So if you're in a business that requires investing money in marketing and having that be related, you know, to growth, and you say that you want to grow your business, but the marketing investment isn't showing up in the budget, like your budget is staying the same, like, stop kidding yourself. You don't actually care that much about growing, or else it would be showing up in your marketing budget that you wanted to grow. Or even if you want to like gain muscle, lose weight, you know, go into the gym, it's like, well, if you say, oh, I'm going to lose, you know, 40 pounds this year, or I'm going to gain 10 pounds of muscle, whatever it is. It's like, well, if you didn't budget for hiring a personal trainer, or at the minimum getting a gym membership, you know, or buying more protein packed foods or whatever that looks like for you, right? It's like, clearly you don't actually care that much if it didn't affect your spending at all. So your budget should always align with what your goals are. And obviously in your case, you're just a perfect proof of that, because you got really clear mentally. That's like, hey, I want to grow my business from 40 to 60 transactions. I maybe feel like I'm stuck a little bit at 40 transactions a year. And for you, you mentioned 40 transactions in your market area was around 250,000 in GCI, right? And that's obviously a really good living. It sounds like that was already substantially more than you were making in your previous career in higher education. So that probably already felt amazing. But once you get stuck there, you're like, I know I could be doing more. How do I get to 60 transactions? And to your credit, you didn't just fill out a worksheet at an inspirational seminar or something and be like, my goal is 60. And then like you patted yourself on the back and you're like, wow, I'm so ambitious. My goal is 60 now. And then you go off and don't change anything, right? Yeah. Immediately what you did is you did some research on marketing companies. You stumbled across platform, and apparently you just signed up. Like that was that. Yeah. You're like, all right, I'm gonna do this. So what did that first year look like? Because I know that when you signed up, it was basically like right before all the COVID lockdowns, right?
Yeah, it was. So right when I signed up, it was good. January, February, it was just starting to hear murmurs of things.
Yeah.
And then the world just changed. But one of the podcast, or not the podcast, one of the sessions that we had for a Zoom meeting was about you were saying now is the time to put more money into marketing. And then I'm starting to hear little murmurs here and there from a competing broker just saying it's time to bring it in, reduce your spending, try to do what you can to bring it in. And it's like, I'm going to listen to this new company that I just met last month and spend more of my money. And so I put a lot of money into the I think I had a $500 budget to start, and I went to 1,000 pretty quickly, and it's been awesome. Right around there.
Awesome.
Now I'm adding more with the listings too. I love it when the realtor says, "Yep, I'm going to put $25 to that onto Facebook right, for my new
right,
listing," and
right.
then they hear how much I'm spending, and their jaw drops. Maybe I shouldn't tell them so that my secrets are with me. But so I started spending more money, and I got lucky. There was some low hanging fruit that was in the first time home buyer lists or single level. Family homes. And so somebody said, yeah, I just fired my realtor. Can you help me buy a home? Like he was driven. We closed at the end of March. So within 2 months of signing up, I had March closings, I had April closings. Then the great thing right now is I'm reaching out to these people and they're saying, yeah, we want to buy another home because they have the equity from the last 2 years.
Right.
Maybe they're sick and tired of each other after living with each other for the last 2 years, whatever it is. One of my couples was a young couple that did decide to break up. They weren't married, thankfully, but I mean, how often can you say in 2 years they got a $50,000 check each for selling splitting up? So now I'm really focused on that 2 years ago group because I think a lot of things have changed with COVID. And so that's a good retargeting audience for us to focus on.
Well, I suppose that makes the breakup less painful if you each walk away with $50,000, huh?
Yes, it sounds like a win-win to me.
So you signed up, and I know you're referencing, we did like a private training for all of our platform members. This was back in, I think, early mid 2020, something like that. I can't remember the specific month, but I'm just going to say it was April. It was probably April of 2020, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. And what we did is I realized a lot of agents were kind of in the mindset of like, oh my God, the world's ending, the whole world shutting down. Because if you're listening to this podcast episode years later, because we're like recording this right now, actually in spring, summer of 2022. So if you think back 2 years ago to April 2020, the world was very different back then, because back then there wasn't a vaccine. We didn't know if there was ever going to be a vaccine. Like we didn't know what was going to happen with COVID. Like people were predicting there might be tens of millions of people who die. Like this might be really, really bad, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole world was shutting down, and I saw all of our agents across the platform like, I think I'm gonna like, you know, decrease my marketing. And to be clear, when I say spend more money on marketing, I wasn't saying, oh, platform's raising our prices, you should send us more money, because our fee has stayed the same, right? We have flat pricing. So it wasn't like I was saying send us more money. When I said increase your ad budget, I'm saying let's increase the amount that you're spending on the actual ads. Because an interesting thing happened during I think the very worst of the COVID lockdowns in spring 2020 is that so many people did abandon social media ads, and they just got scared and pulled their spending, where all of a sudden there was extra inventory available in the news feeds. Because people don't realize that social media news feeds, Facebook in particular, operates on an auction-based algorithm. So every available impression is essentially auctioned off to whatever advertiser is willing to bid for that spot. And you don't realize that's what you're doing when you're launching Facebook ad campaigns, but that's how the algorithm has been designed, is to mimic an actual auction. So if there's not a lot of demand, what they're charging for those impressions goes down. And they charge on CPM, which is cost per milli, milli meaning thousand. It's the Latin term for thousand, like millia millennium, right? So that's how any advertising is quoted across media. So even if you started doing billboard advertising or radio advertising, you know, it's quoted in CPM, cost per thousand impressions, right? So Facebook is the same way. A lot of people think that Facebook ads or Instagram ads or, you know, whatever, LinkedIn ads are a build on cost per click. Like, they're not. It's actually CPM. Like, cost per click is just a really easy kind of shortcut mental way of thinking about it, because they do show you that metric in case you're curious, right? But you're actually being billed for those impressions, whether or not anyone clicks on your ad. So it's being billed via CPM. That's technically what's happening behind the scenes. And what I saw happening in spring 2020 is like, oh, wow, ads used to be like $10 to $15 CPM. And now we're seeing it's more like 5 to 10, you know, where basically the CPMs got cut in half. So basically it's like Facebook, you know, Facebook didn't announce this, but if you just did the quick math, it's like there's a 50% off sale on advertising. You know, it's like right now, tons of people are home because we're locked down, right? They're on their phones, they're on their computers, and Facebook ads are half off. It's like Facebook is running a Black Friday sale, right? So I told all of our clients, hey, rather than decreasing your ads budget right now, which is what everyone else is doing, what if you doubled down? Like, what if you doubled your ads budget? Because by doubling your ads budget when the ads are half off, you're actually essentially getting a 4X return. So you're reaching four times the number of people you would have reached in any other month. And just think about like how much faster that'll grow your business if every month you're reaching four times the number of people, right? You will get the amount of results from your, I mean, just it's very simple, right? It's very simple math. You will get the amount of results in 6 months that it otherwise would have taken you 2 years to get with a slow and steady marketing plan if you can get four times the impressions, you know, in the same amount of time. And so some people that were courageous as you are like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to increase my ads budget during this time where I'm getting a really good deal on the CPMs on Facebook ads. And look what happened. Even in a crazy, you know, COVID lockdown year, I mean, man, wasn't 2020 weird? Like just a weird year, right? Mm-hmm. And you still grew your business from 40 transactions to 60. So, I mean, that's incredible. What were some of the ads that you ran that seemed to work to kind of create that surge from 40 to 60 transactions?
Yeah, I think it was just a lot about doing all of them. I mean, some of the online lead generation was definitely helpful. The people were commenting on the ducks in a row video was fun. We shot the one about I'm not your realtor, and I kind of made a spoof about one of our realtors that has his arms wide open and a big smile on his face on every billboard in Wisconsin, and that got a few people in a good mood. So by the time June, July rolled around, I'm getting
who's a last name rhymes with Findall?
Might be it. Yep. So, but we had fun with that. And so, but yeah, by June and July, people are reaching out to me like they've known me, and they go, Jason, I am just wanted to reach out. We have a home to sell in Minnesota. I don't know if you can help with that, but we're really looking for something in Wisconsin. I'm looking at the history, and I never sent them a message. They are starting these messages like we've had this relationship, and I know it's because that they were looking at my videos. Someone in the community that I haven't spoken to more than once or twice in the last 10 years, we used to go to the same church 15 years ago, said, Jason, we have some people, some family members or some friends that are moving into town, and I want to have them work with you. Well, I think that's great. Where did this come from? And then I realized, oh, it's platform. His wife was a realtor for a competing agency, and they didn't use any of her friends or colleagues that she was working with. They trusted me. They knew me from the church, the background, and I'm sure they kept seeing all my videos online over and over again.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this platform strategy that I think doesn't get enough credit, because people like to talk about the leads, right? Like, leads are sexy. Like, it's just kind of fun talking about a metric like that that's so quantitative in leads. Like, oh, how many leads did you get? What's your lead conversion percentage, right? The whole marketing industry, I think, is obsessed with lead generation in an unhealthy way. Like, people think that lead generation is synonymous with marketing. Mm-hmm. It's not, right? They're not the same thing. Lead generation is part of marketing, but marketing is a much deeper and more holistic endeavor than just lead generation, right? Yeah. And all those videos and those photos, those retargeting ads that you're mentioning, that's what really changes the game. Because if people start seeing those, and every time they go on Insta or every time they go on Facebook or they find your videos on YouTube, and they keep seeing you, like you said, all of a sudden you get these phone calls, frankly, from complete strangers. And they're like, hey, Jason, I think I'm finally ready to sell my house. Here's the deal. My husband just got a job over here, or my wife just got a job over here, and we're really looking to move. What would the next steps be if we're going to list our house? And even in the tone of voice they're using when they call you, you can kind of tell, like, these people think that they know me. Like, they're acting like I'm their friend. Yeah. And it's like, I have no idea who these people are. We've never talked, right? And then you just realize, oh, they've probably been seeing all of my Facebook posts and my retargeting ads. And that's why, even though I have no idea who they are, they feel like they know me, right? And that's what marketing should be, right? Marketing should get people to feel like they know you rather than just generating a bunch of leads. I mean, leads are important too, but it should get people to feel like they know you. And I think that's, you know, that's probably why your business grew from 40 to 60 transactions.
Sure. And this has been an interesting 2 years too, where the small business owners have especially been hit hard. One of the other videos that was super good was God Made a Small Business Owner that we put together probably April, right after the COVID shut everything down. And two of my recent contacts or clients are small business owners who I approached with that video, and they remember me. I still get the small business owners reach out and say, man, I really enjoy what you do to promote small businesses. Could you promote my shop next? And so it's like, yeah, of course, I love to promote your shop. So that's turned into a couple of leads. One time I was driving to Nebraska, and a small business owner called and said there was $1 million property that was perfect for his wife. And of course, the property is under contract by the time I call the listing agent. But I have a relationship with a small business owner who's looking for $1 million property, which doesn't happen too much in Hudson and River Falls, Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a huge part of the reason that we preach so consistently a platform about network with small business owners in your community. Get to know them, right? Film videos highlighting your favorite local businesses. Take photos, use them in your retargeting stack of ads. You know, don't just talk about yourself or don't just talk about real estate all the time. Like, promote local small businesses in your community. And that's ironically the best marketing, when you're not even talking about yourself and you're not talking about how great of a realtor you are, or how many homes you sold, or how many years you've been in the business, or what awards you've won or designations you have, right? Like, no one cares, right? But if you highlight some of your favorite businesses in the community, people just like that because it makes you a likable person. It's like, wow, cool. Like, he's using his advertising dollars to help out other small businesses. He seems like a really cool guy, right? Like, I would want to work with an agent like him because he clearly cares more about just selling houses. He's actually trying to be like an advocate of the community at large. So for those listening who have no idea what he's talking about when he says that God made a small business owner, because maybe there's some agents listening to this that are like, what is he talking about? So we wrote like a video script a couple years ago, and we just called it So God Made a Small Business Owner. And it takes a classic, I think it's like a Paul Harvey speech from the 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. And it was originally So God Made a Farmer. So maybe people have heard of that. But we kind of just rewrote the speech to, rather than being specifically about farmers, it's about small business owners. And really just the value that they bring to the world every day that often goes unnoticed, how hard they work, the long hours, the risk they take. Because like, most small business owners are not getting rich. You know, they're not sitting back making $1 million a year or something. Like, they work super hard and sometimes earn very meager profits just because they feel it's important that their community has a good local restaurant, or, you know, a good ice cream shop, or a hardware store, or a gym, or whatever it is, right? Like, most small business owners are not making a ton of money, but they're doing it because they're passionate about it and they want their communities to be, you know, a vibrant, interesting place to live that doesn't just have a bunch of chain national franchises, right? And so we just wrote this video script honoring local small business owners. And what agents like Jason did is they went and took pictures and video of these small business owners, and we featured them in the video that went along with this kind of like montage video script just honoring small business owners. And then Jason read a narration of the voiceover for the script for this video. And the ad kind of just went viral. Like, everyone who did it, like, it just got tons of shares. I mean, I don't know how many video views you got, Jason, but a lot of those videos got 20, 30,000, 40,000 video views, because like, the whole community was sharing it, right? it wasn't just like you spent money on the ad and then the ad got some views. It was like the whole, everyone around town started sharing it on their personal profile. So it kind of took on a life of its own. And because you film a video like that, part of the long-term strategy is you're also just building relationships with local small business owners. Because even just that simple act of stopping in and saying, hey, I'd love to feature you in one of my next social media marketing campaigns. You know, I'm a realtor here and I'm not at all trying to promote myself. This isn't about me. I'm honestly just trying to help highlight some of my favorite local businesses in case there's some people watching this who maybe don't know the area super well that are moving here. Mm-hmm. I want them to know what my favorite local businesses, you know, are here. And there's no agenda for you other than just trying to help out local small businesses, right? And doing that has resulted in a couple of those small business owners actually being like, you know what? Like, you seem like a really great realtor. I'm going to use you on my next transaction. And that probably never would have happened had you not done these video assignments and these marketing campaigns. Like, these small business owners wouldn't necessarily have reached out to you.
No, absolutely not. I think that's just, yes. And it's going to continue to grow. And now it's like, well, duh, why didn't I do this? And I'm sure it was something that was given as a technique when I started in real estate to go to the small business owners, to the financial planners, to the divorce attorneys. I know some of those come, but if you go to the restaurants or the hardware stores, all of the small businesses that are downtown, I mean, they're just as influential in recommending you. And on Facebook groups, hey, does anyone have a realtor in River Falls they could recommend? My name doesn't always come up, but it's usually from a small business owner or people in the community. Yep. That I don't even know some people who are recommending me. And I think that's a platform advantage too. So
yeah, that's always cool when you get to the point with like your platform marketing momentum, where typically once you've been doing it, usually it seems to be when you're 12 to 18 months in. Like once you hit that 12 to 18 month mark, where you often start getting referrals from people that have never even themselves worked with you. Like they've never even bought or sold a house with you, but they are referring people to you because they're that confident that you must be a great agent, you know, because they've been seeing your videos and seeing your ads on social media that they think you're really cool. And now they're referring their friends or family to you, even though they've never even worked with you themselves. Which is cool.
It is. And much like the freshman 15 that I got in college, I've gotten the platform 15 by going to all these local diners and restaurants the last couple of years.
That's awesome.
More so than usual.
So you've been filming these videos, you know, creating these retargeting ads. How has it affected your sphere and your network? Because one thing I've noticed too is that when you regularly feature local small business owners in your ads, I think one thing that a lot of agents forget is that small business owners are pretty much the most networked people in a community because they're part of the local chamber. They're part of various other organizations or institutions. Like they all work with, you know, a similar group of typically accountants or small business law firms or, you know, small business owners are extremely networked, right? People know them. They're also the people that local charities and churches and kids, youth sports tournaments, whatever, they're always hitting them up for donations, right? So like everyone knows the local small business owners. So if you had to pick a group of people to become connected to as a real estate agent, it would be small business owners. Because if those people decide that they like you and decide that you're worthy of their referrals, there's probably no more valuable of a referral source than having local small business owners in your corner where they're referring people to you because they basically indirectly or directly know everybody in the community. So have you noticed that your sphere or kind of just your network in town has like increased in the last couple of years?
I think so. And some of the things that platform has also done is it's made me maybe to expand a little bit more. So now we have a community organization that is more geared towards helping people who are displaced or homeless. And so it's like, well, it makes total sense with my real estate background to be a sponsor. So I'm one of the corporate sponsors for that. The Athletic Booster Club reaches out and says, hey, Jason, we love your stuff. Would you like to be a booster and have your name At the football games in the background, I go, absolutely, I'd love to do that. So some of those relationships I even have had with the small business owners has taken different avenues in the community, where now if someone comes up and says, will you be a $100 sponsor for our gymnastics club? I'll say, absolutely, I love to be a promoter of your gymnastics club, because the $100 is going to have at least 10 or 15 of the gymnasts who are involved. And then from there, it's going to go to their parents and other people who notice. So I guess that's the other thing I'd say, is my sphere is getting bigger because I'm willing to take initiative and spend some
Yeah,
money in the
you're
community.
actually active in your community. I think that's super important, because there's no amount of money you can spend on advertising that can disguise the fact if you're not actually active in your community, right? Like, you can throw money at Zillow ads, Realtor.com ads, even platform ads, frankly, right? You can spend a lot of money on platform ads, even with the ad campaigns that we are recommending. But if deep down you're not actually active in your community, like, you are so, I think, selling yourself short on what the potential for your business could be if you were, right? If you were actually active in those organizations, whether it's the local football boosters club or chamber of commerce or your church or whatever, right? The more active you are in your community to where your retargeting ads aren't faking it, right? Because, like, the whole point of our retargeting ads is we want to position you as someone who's very active in the community and cares about the community, right? But if that's not actually true and you're not super active, like, you're going to get a small shadow of the results of someone who actually is active, in the community. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I'm excited for you, because you're only, I mean, no, you're actually not even 2 years in. You're only like a year and a half into platform now, right?
Just at the 2 year mark. So,
Okay. So
yeah.
just hit the 2 year mark. You've added somewhere, I mean, 150,000, almost 200,000 to your GCI
Yeah, I'm getting there.
since joining platform. And I know, was it last year you just bought like a new vacation home in Florida?
Yeah, each year I create that vision board. I think that's so important too for having goals. You can kind of see I'm in a sunroom right now in the house 2016 I put on my vision board just a year into real estate. I wanted an updated kitchen. Well, we passed on the updated kitchen and just got a house that was 10 years new or 10 years old instead.
There you
So
go.
then last year, it was partly during COVID. It's like, wow, business is actually picking up. So I was looking at like $150,000 townhomes that were out on the outskirts of Orlando. And then I'm starting to look a little bit more, and it's like, well, my income is increasing. And we put an offer on a fully decorated 1-year-old townhome that was in a Windsor Island resort. It was part of Pulte Homes, is just building like crazy down there.
Okay.
And we didn't get it, and we were devastated. And my realtor that I was working with down there said, if we just spend a little bit more money, you could design the place yourself. And I wish I would have done MTV Cribs on the whole process from the design, because we just bought a brand new townhome. They had great credits for purchasing with the lender, and I was able to use my lender that works with me on my platform campaign. She's licensed in Florida.
Oh,
Cardinal
okay.
Financial is one of Pulte's lender partners.
Yep,
So I
yep.
got $20,000 off the price, or 10,000 off the price, and basically no closing costs to buy this brand new townhome. Had an interior designer decorate it, and we'll have to post the link or something, but 120 Jetty Way has a Star Wars room, a Mickey Mouse room, a Disney castle room, cars, and then Finding Nemo with the Toy Story characters and scuba gear floating around in the room. It's like, who in the world would have thought a couple of years ago that I would have been able to, A, purchase a second home, B, decorate it like this, and now I have a free place to stay when I go to Disney World.
I've seen the pictures, and it is super cool, 'cause it's a brand new like luxury townhome that Jason bought. And do you have it on Airbnb, or is that
Yes, I have a management company that does all of
okay?
that for me,
Cool.
so I don't have to
Yeah.
think about it. But it's Airbnb, almost every weekend is full. The only downtime is like end of September to early November. It's kind of dead then, but otherwise every weekend's full. We need more international travel though, because a lot of Tuesday through Thursdays go unused, and so it could be only 70% full due to
Sure,
that
sure.
midweek traffic. But right now, like this month, I only have 1 or 2 days that weren't occupied the entire month. So it's really doing well for itself. And then we get to enjoy it. And property values in Orlando, like everywhere else, have increased. So I probably could cash out and still make $100,000 on it today. So pretty
Yeah, I mean,
amazing.
there's tons of equity there, but I was gonna say I've actually seen the pictures and it is really cool 'cause like each room is like themed from a different Disney movie or Disney character, and it's done like super professionally. So it's not some amateur job where you just put up some posters of Disney characters or something, you know. It's like it is like full-blown professional interior design where one room is totally Mickey Mouse themed, the other one's like Cars, you have one that's like Finding Nemo and Toy Story. You said there's a Star Wars one, and it like I know this is a podcast, so obviously it's audio and people are listening to this, so I can't show something visually on a podcast, but like imagine a townhouse decorated like that where like Disney itself was the interior designer and Disney did the decorating. Like that's how expert level professional Jason's vacation rental there is. Like it is super cool. Like I would actually love to stay there sometime. It's actually really cool. So that's kind of a side benefit of growing your business is when your finances get to the point where you can start buying second homes and vacation properties. 'Cause like you said, it cash flows as an investment property, but whenever you feel like going to Florida, like you now have a place to stay 'cause you own it, you know, and you get obviously the upside of the equity appreciation there. So
Except for Christmas, the revenue is too great over Christmas that I've told my family we can't stay there. We can stay at the Disney Resort and still make more money than we would staying in our own townhome. But yeah, and again, it's an audio, but you imagine walking into the Star Wars room and it's like you're walking into the Death Star with lights that he created that make it look like the Death Star and an X-wing hanging from the ceiling. I wanted to sleep in the room, but my son wanted it more, so I let him have it, and my wife and I had the Mickey Mouse room instead. But yeah, it's pretty phenomenal to go down and realize that real estate has allowed me to achieve these things that would have been impossible to imagine as a director of student life 8 years ago.
So what's the next goal?
That's a great question. And now I'm to the point, and I mentioned this to you earlier, but I did the same thing I did about 3 years ago. I said, this is great. I'm going to set my goals last year for 60 transactions. And what happened? I hit 60 transactions and I stopped. So this year I have a goal of 72 transactions to close, and that'll get me closer to $500,000 for the year.
In
I
GCI.
would like to consider another investment property, but we're having some issues with people kind of being jerks, and I have to replace the carpet in my townhome and some of those things. So I have to look past some of those, small nuances and figure out what my next goal is. But now I'm kind of to the point I like to retire earlier than I was ever imagining a couple of years ago. So get some extra money and bank it, and then maybe just put the not put the brakes on, but definitely focus on what I want to focus on, work up with the clients I want to work with, and really make it easier for me.
What would you say, Jason, for those listening to this who are already in the platform family, right? So they've already joined, maybe they're in their first month or their second month, third month, something like that. They don't yet have a ton of closings because they're just early on, or maybe they don't have any closings at all from platform, and they're maybe starting to feel a little bit frustrated or anxious that like, oh man, I signed up for this. It's not really working yet. I'm starting to get worried. What would you say to them to encourage them based on the fact that you've now been with Platform for 2 years? So you have that benefit of perspective looking back at what, you know, of a 2 years of sample size. What would you tell someone who just started?
Yeah, I would just say, to keep a positive attitude. The business is tough, and it's just like anything else. When you're spending money, you want to see results. But if you do the work, if you do what your account manager tells you, if you're genuine, you reach out to the community, you shoot the videos, you take the photos. It can even just be something like walking down the street. You might say, oh, I didn't realize that this movie theater had Superman playing. You take a picture with Superman in the background and say, when's the last time you supported the movie theater? Come on down, and Tuesdays is cheap day. even that can make a world of difference with a little bit of 10 seconds of time, a quick selfie, and you're done. I get teased by a couple of my colleagues because almost all of my listing videos, it's just me doing a selfie with the video running, because I know that getting the video out there is a lot more important than me trying to find somebody who
Yeah,
I could meet down
it's not
there.
some perfect Hollywood production where you spend $1,000 filming a video with all sorts of, fancy production equipment, but the point is you're getting it done. You're
Yep,
getting a video
exactly.
made.
So that's the thing, is get it done. Be authentic to who you are. Don't shoot videos if you don't believe in them. There has been a couple of times where something has been brought up as a, this would be great. It's like, well, for my neighborhood, for my community, no one who's around, that may not be the best for me. So then I try to figure out something else that would work. And there's always plenty of ideas to run around, to make just keep working hard at what you're doing. And I think the other thing too is I'm starting to have a lot more Facebook likes for all these videos and pictures that I'm shooting. I'm inviting them to my Facebook business page, and that's an automatic free audience that's capturing all the stuff that maybe you don't get on the platform. Or when it is on platform, they're definitely going to see it, because not only are they following your page, but they're going to be captured in the ads too. So I think that's been making a difference. Within a couple of months here now, I've had two or three people who reach out, and it's never a phone call for these three, but it's a Facebook message saying, hey, could you tell me how much my home is worth? And then I give them a call, and they get there and I let them know. And one's looking in a year or two. The other one's probably just trying to get a couple of realtors to give them an idea for who knows what. But I mean, it's still contacts, and that's what we have to have contacts so that we can take those to the next level
Yep, and
and
if people are engaging with your page too in any way, whether it's messaging your
Oh yeah.
page, liking a post or whatever, now they're on your retargeting list, which means they're going to keep seeing you every day for like the next 6, 7 months in a row. So that's a win, because eventually if they keep seeing you, they will choose you as their realtor when it's time, whether it's to buy or sell. They're going to choose you over some other agent. So like you said, any contact you can make, any of those connections, the cumulative effect of all that, adds up over time.
Yep. And when the time comes for all those clients, put them into your retargeting audience, send your account manager their emails, because I'm really bad at keeping in touch with people. And that was me before real estate. That's me now. It's like, if someone calls me, great. If it takes me 2 years to contact somebody, that's fine too. But when they're in my retargeting audience and they're a past client, even if I'm not reaching out to them, I'm reaching out to them, and they're going to see
Sure,
me
sure.
6, 8, 10, 15 times a month. And when that time comes that they are ready to buy or sell again, they're going to see me all of the time and remember that I'm still in the business.
Right on. Well, my last question I wanted to ask is, I know you're probably spending about $1,000 a month on ads now. That seems to be kind of that's the new general budget. Plus, when you get a listing video, I know that you'll spend even more on those on top of that, which is why your business has grown so much. Because obviously, if you're doing 60 transactions a year, you now have the profit to invest even more and more advertising. It kind of creates this snowball effect where then you can do even more business, right? What are some of your favorite ads, specifically in the sense that people in the community saw them because they mentioned it to you?
Boy, well, definitely the God Made a Small Business Owner was one. I'm trying to think some of the other ones that I've been mentioned. When I promote, I just did a promotion for Carboni's. There's one in River Falls. The one in Holt, in oh, it's Burke, and it's just outside of Hudson. It has a Willow River Saloon, so I couldn't use Willow River Saloon, but I
Oh,
took a
sure.
picture of me eating the roasted chicken up there. And three or four people have come up to me and they said, I've always wanted to try the roasted chicken at Carboni's. And it's like, at first, the first time, I was like, what am I? Oh, yeah. So the other one that was really significant actually was, we have a big chicken that's about 30 miles south of here at Hager Heights. It's a drive-in restaurant where you go in your car or you order at the window and you eat it outside. They have roasted chicken and shakes and fries. And I shot that video with a family that we went up with, and people are asking me about what's this Hager Heights that you were talking about? I've never been there. And so I feel like I should probably ask for a free meal or something, because I'm sure I've sent 10 or 15 people that direction to a restaurant that just sits on the corner of a highway down in southern Pierce County.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably doing more to promote the community and the county than the local tourism board is doing. And yeah. I think that should be the goal of every realtor who's implementing this platform strategy, is like, you are the real tourism board. Like, you are the real local economic development. Like, don't sit back and wait for a politician or some government body to do tourism, because like, politics has to flow through all the BS budgets of the bureaucracy. And then by the time a committee approves some ad campaign or whatever, it's so watered down that like, it's terrible, you know? You as a individual local real estate agent can do way more creative, interesting advertisements to help promote your area and promote the local small businesses and the parks and the lakes and the restaurants and all that than anyone could ever do. So don't just think of your advertising as a realtor about, oh, all my ads are about houses. It's like, no, it should be about the community and the area, because even for the people who already live there, I think a lot of agents maybe underestimate the effects of this. They think, oh, well, I don't want to do a ton of those videos because we don't necessarily have a ton of people moving here, right? It's like, well, no, there's a lot. Like, trust me, there's like, I'm from a small town myself in the Midwest. I live in Naples, Florida now, but I'm originally from Wilmer, Minnesota, which is about 2 hours west of the Twin Cities. It's a small town, about 20,000 people, right in the middle of Minnesota. It's not near anything, just surrounded by cornfields for 100 miles in every direction, right? And trust me, there are people in your small town that still have not been to all the random restaurants and cafes and coffee shops in your town. Like, I just took my grandma a couple months ago when I was back home in Minnesota to Frida's Cafe. And Frida's in Wilmer is this local hole in the wall. Probably only there's only 40 chairs in the entire place. Like, it's a very small little cafe where you can still get coffee for 50 cents. And a plate of pancakes is literally like $3. I mean, it's just like the quintessential local hole in the wall place. And it has been, I'm pretty sure Frida's has been there for like 50 years. Like, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's been there for literally like 50 years. So much longer than I've even been alive, actually. And my grandma's like, oh, this is good. I've never been here. And it's like, she's lived in Wilmer since 1927. Like,
never been
she's,
there.
You know, she's in her mid 90s and she's never been there. And it's been around, like, Frida's has existed probably twice as long as I've been alive. And it was, I was like, what? You've never been here? She's like, oh no, this is really good. And so like, I just know that there's tons of people, even in small towns, that have not tried all the local restaurants there. So you are doing a very valuable service to your community when you get out there and you film videos and you take pictures and you run retargeting ads that just talk about the local businesses in your area, even if it doesn't have anything to do with real estate. Because, you know, my favorite thing to say is the best ads don't look like ads, right? If you're out, you know, supporting your favorite spot to get a milkshake or your favorite coffee shop or your favorite spot to grab a cheeseburger, whatever it is, that's how people remember you. And that'll keep you top of mind, because precisely because you're not talking about real estate, it lowers their guard. And so that message flies kind of under their bullshit radar, and they don't realize that they're technically seeing an ad, you know, and that they're being advertised to. I'm saying that with air quotes, you know. And because you're not talking about real estate, like, their guard goes down, and then they'll actually watch the video. And they're ironically a lot more likely to remember that than if you filmed a video all talking about the real estate market and all the homes for sale or whatever, because they just tune that out, because their brain immediately is like, oh, that's an ad. And once your brain labels something as an ad, you typically just skip it. Like, you're not really paying attention, right? So those are the foundation of a good local marketing strategy, is running a ton of these local ads that, well, don't look like ads.
Yeah, we're spending more on marketing for some of these small businesses than the small businesses are spending probably on Facebook.
That's awesome. I've never thought about it that way, and it's probably 100% true. Like, I bet there's a lot of those businesses that you have spent more of your own money to promote them with your ads than probably they have. That's hilarious, and it's probably spot on. Well, Jason, thank you for joining me today. I think this has been a really cool episode, especially, you know, that we got to spend some time specifically talking about, you know, the impact it's made for local small businesses in your community. I'm really passionate about that. I know you are too. And I think that's kind of a cool side effect of all this marketing that we get to do together, is that it also helps lift up, you know, the local mom and pop, you know, businesses in your community. And it's a win-win because your business grows too, because your reputation increases as you promote your community. So I think that's awesome. Thank you for sticking with Platform for 2 years. Thank you for believing in it and seeing it through, because, you know, adding an extra 20 and probably this next year, hopefully an extra 30 transactions to your business, it's been worth it, you know? So this has been a really great episode. Want to thank you again for your time. And guys, I'll see you on the next episode of the Platform Marketing Show.